Hello, and thank you for listening to the podcast of the Vineyard Church Maryville here in Maryville, Tennessee. If you haven't already, you can visit our website to find out more information about our church or to find our full audio archive with all of our messages. So you can find all of that at www.vineyardchurch.us, or you can also subscribe on Apple and Google Podcasts. Now, let's hear this week's message.
Good morning, Maryville Vineyard. How's everybody this morning? Are we awake? We're awake. Good. I'm glad you're with us on a spring break weekend. And if you're joining us online this morning from your 80-degree beach, say a prayer for us that have decided to stay back here in the frozen tundra of East Tennessee. I was talking to a couple of new families last week. I think one was from Oregon and the other from California, and I said, East Tennessee weather, it's going to be 80 one day, and 48 hours later, it'll be 20 and snowing, and then here in a couple of days, it'll be 75 in spring again. So, you know, God's in control. He knows what he's doing, so no worries there. Just have fun with it. For those of you who haven't met me yet, or I haven't gotten the privilege of meeting you guys yet, my name is Chris Carpenter. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. Got to see Aaron. He'll be back up here in a couple of weeks. You get the slightly skinnier, slightly older version of pastoral teaching this morning. The great thing about Aaron, he's not laying on a beach, right? He didn't take spring break to go anywhere. He's roughing it out with us here in East Tennessee in the cold, because that's the kind of pastor he is. He really is that awesome. A couple of tidbits that I want to mention before I get into the sermon this morning. I finally kind of have a platform to say this, and so I'm going for it. I've been on staff now for between five and six months, and I wanted to take a moment to say on behalf of my wife and my child, who are actually on spring break in Michigan right now, that shows how backwards my family is. But I want to say this not as a pastor, but just as a part of this congregation, that we have never felt more welcomed at a church than right here. And 21 years my wife and I have been a family in churches around this area, we have never felt more welcomed here. Your kindness and your hospitality, as Aaron taught last week, the pursuit of strangers, we felt that pursuit in our lives. It's been off the charts for us, and so we just want to thank you so much. And if you're visiting with us this morning, I think you're going to feel that too. And I want to encourage you, after the service today, look over to the person next to you and introduce yourself. Or if you get bored with this sermon, just do it in the middle of the sermon, right? Just look to the person next to you and go, hey, my name's such and such, and introduce yourself, because there's a really, really good chance that you're going to meet someone awesome, and you might just meet somebody that's going to bring a lot more joy to your life today. So that's the first thing. Second thing, Aaron spoke last week that he's going to be teaching more from the CSB translation of the Bible. That's the Christian Standard Bible. So you'll be seeing that more about that translation over the next couple of weeks. In hearing that, you probably went out and bought a CSB Bible, or you downloaded the CSB app. I heard that, you know, sales went out of the roof when he made that announcement last week. I say all that to say we're going to be in the ESV this morning, because I started writing this sermon before last Sunday, all right? But you really can't go wrong. ESV, CSB, they're all good. You're in good hands. I call the ESV the extra spiritual version. That's the way I put it. Okay, so on to the sermon. Here we go. Over the last weeks, Aaron, along with Josh Armstrong, our missions pastor, taught on a series of Loving Our Neighbor, all part of our vision of walking with Jesus, loving our neighbor here at Vineyard. And Josh and Aaron both really challenged us in thinking about what loving our neighbor is all about and the extensions to what loving our neighbor truly means for us. And Aaron spoke a couple of weeks ago as well how, in reality, everything that we teach here, everything that we do here at Vineyard really filters through this vision of walking with Jesus and loving our neighbor. Walking with Jesus, loving our neighbor. You've heard it so much over these weeks, you're probably hearing it in your sleep. And you're hearing that and you're going, is that you, Jesus? No, it's Aaron. It's just Aaron, you know. It's a scary thought, but he's talking to you in your sleep. But if someone comes up to you and says, oh, you attend Vineyard, what's your church all about? It should really get to a place where it's just rolling off our tongue. Oh, we're about walking with Jesus and loving our neighbor. And the next 2 weeks up here on Sunday is no exception. We're going to be talking about walking with Jesus and loving our neighbor, but we're going to be doing it in a certain context, a certain atmosphere. Myself and my awesome brother in Christ, A.J. Jones, who you saw in the announcements, we're going to be piggybacking off of this vision and speaking about it in the context of a churchy term that we like to use, and that's called discipleship. My title here at Vineyard is Discipleship Pastor, so it should only make sense that I would talk to you about discipleship, and I'm going to because I absolutely love discipleship. I can't get enough of it. If we ever get the chance, and I hope we do, of sitting down over a cup of coffee or going out to lunch or just meeting one another, I can almost guarantee part of our conversation is going to be about discipleship. Are you being discipled? Are you going to disciple somebody else? Let's talk about discipleship. Discipleship, discipleship, discipleship. Back in January, I had a breakfast with some guys, and it was the first guys that I really got the opportunity, the privilege of meeting in my early days here, and I told them the desire that I have for every single one of us, so for all of you, myself included, in this church body would be to see every single one of us being discipled, as well as every single one of us discipling someone else. That's the dream. So keep that dream in mind. We're going to be more on that here in a moment. But something to know about me, first and foremost, I'm a math guy. All right? Do we have any math nerds out there? All right, we got one, two. All right, you're my people. You're my people. The rest of you just clued out, right? You heard the word math and things just got boring. You did what I told you to do, right? You turned to the person next to you. Hi, I'm such and such, you know. The sermon just got really boring. No, I taught math before God really led me to the church. In particular, I taught algebra. And so I'm going to try to make this as easy as possible for you non-math folks this morning for us all to get. The title of this little two-week series is called A Kingdom Equation. And our wonderful Aaron Wright did this. This is absolutely cool. And so I want you to think mathematically here. There's two things that I want you to see. Where the roads cross, that's a plus. Adding, all right? And then you got the crosswalks in the middle. You got a multiplication sign. So we're talking about addition, and we're talking about multiplication. You non-math people, you still with me? Nod your heads. All right, good, good. We're going well so far. And we did this purposefully because the equation for God's kingdom, in particular when it comes to discipleship, includes addition and multiplication. It includes adding ourselves, and then it includes multiplying others. Adding ourselves and multiplying others. And so there are two directions that AJ and I are going to be talking about over the next two Sundays. This morning with me, you're going to get the being discipled piece. This is the addition part of the equation. The direction of you being discipled and what that means for your life and what that can look like in your life. And then next week, AJ is going to come and speak about discipling others. That's the multiplication side of the kingdom equation. And basically, I'm going first because I don't want to follow AJ. All right? You saw the video. You don't want to follow that man. He's that awesome. He's that awesome. So once again, this morning, talking about being discipled, the addition of ourselves. And then remember, we're viewing it through the lens of our vision of walking with Jesus and loving our neighbor, all right? So if you'll let me take you back about 30 years, it was about this time in my life, 30 years ago, that I stepped foot in a church for the first time, the very first time. Never stepped foot in a church growing up. I was not a believer. I was a junior at the University of Tennessee, and my father recently, or just before that, had remarried, and he and his wife just started attending a church at a little church in Claxton, Tennessee. If you don't know where that is, it's in between Oak Ridge and Clinton. And so I was living in my dorm room at UT, and every Friday, every single Friday, my father would call me at my dorm at UT and invite me to come to church with them. And he would just, no pressure. He didn't go into it. He said basically two sentences: "Hey, we're going to church on Sunday. We'd love for you to join us." And then he'd let it go. And that's all he'd ever say, every single Friday. And so every so often I would go to church with them because my dad and I are very tight. He's one of the closest guys in my life. And so in my brain, I wanted to appease his feelings a little bit. And so I would go to church. Plus, I would get to go to his house afterwards and eat lunch. And as a starving college student, that's a huge thing. Any college students give an amen to that? And by the way, small plug, if you are a college age, 18 to 23, and you haven't checked out our college lunches yet, come see me after the service. I got some good things to talk to you about. But try to make a long story short, too late. I started going to church with my dad and his wife. God grabbed me, and at age 21, I became a believer, and Jesus became my Lord and my King. And something amazing happened to me even before I became a believer, but then for a few years after my conversion as well. The pastor of this little church, his name was Stan Young, started speaking about Jesus and teaching me the gospel. He started discipling me. And I'm not talking about me just listening to his sermons on Sunday morning, although they were pretty awesome. I'm talking about he literally walked with me. I had so many meals at this man's home, I couldn't begin to even fathom how many. His wife, Becky, she could cook a mean meal. It was awesome. But over every single meal that we have, Stan and I would have a discussion about Jesus, and we'd be in the scriptures with one another. Stan would make it a point to come to UT in the mornings and walk with me to my class. And all my classes, math, up on the hill, folks, and he would walk up the hill with me a couple of times a week. And in our walks together, we would have a conversation about Jesus and talk about scripture. We played golf together. He would take me golfing and riding in the golf cart. Guess who he talked about? Guess who he talked about? We talked about Jesus, and we talked about the gospel. And this lasted for a few years where he was really taking me through God's word and speaking God's word into my life until he sent me off one day. He told me to go. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. He told me to go, and as I look back on it now, he sent me off to go to disciple others. And so I tell you all this first and foremost to say discipleship's a really big deal to me because, you know, the Holy Spirit, I believe, uses discipleship to change and mold our lives. And he's brought me to this place where I want to see the lives of this church through discipleship be changed and molded as well, and the lives of this community as well. But I also say that because for many of you, that might not be your experience. The unfortunate story that I've heard again and again in the church over a long time as a pastor is that many in the church were saved in the church, and you were saved growing up, but you were never discipled. And so if that's your story, first and foremost, I want to apologize for that. Because that's not the way it should be. Because the last time I read the Great Commission, there was a certain part that came before this next slide that's going to come up. Right? I'll read it to you. There it is. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There's a part that comes before that and a part that comes after that. And it's the parts missing that I believe the church, and when I talk about that, I mean the universal church, has failed in some ways in its endeavors. I have really good news to share, though. Here at Maryville Vineyard, we're all about the missing parts. We're all about the missing parts. And if you're wondering what the missing parts are, there they are. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of this age. Those underlined areas, discipleship. That's about discipleship, folks. And my fear, as I said before, is for many of you, this hasn't been your experience. You grew up in the church. You got baptized in the church. You haven't been discipled in the church growing up. Outside of Sunday sermons, you never had someone or others walk with you and speak the scriptures into your life. You never had peers for you to walk out your life with, speaking the gospel into one another's lives. Now, can you imagine for a moment, we had this beautiful young lady baptized here a couple of weeks ago. Her name was Winnie Pritchett. And everyone was clapping, right? You know, when Winnie got baptized, such a beautiful picture. This little girl gets baptized and everybody's clapping and everybody's cheering and the family's crying. And praise be to God, we got another addition to God's kingdom where there's another life saved. But can you imagine then going to Winnie and saying, okay, young lady, now go figure it out for yourself. Go figure out how this gospel works in your young life and beyond. And you know, if you have any questions, just read your Bible more. You know? And if you got issues that ever pop up in your life, keep praying. Now, as Aaron likes to say, listen to me carefully. All right? Get in the Word more. Pray ceaselessly. All right? Pray ceaselessly. But doing it with other brothers and sisters in Christ by your side, it's going to take it to a whole other level. It's going to take it to a whole other level. Because, I believe this with all my heart, discipleship is a lifeline for our lives. It's a lifeline. All of our lives. Now, I'm using this word discipleship a lot, so what do I really mean by it? What is discipleship? Well, a disciple refers to a student, or a bit of an older term would be an apprentice. And in the days of Jesus, a student or an apprentice would follow the teachings of their rabbi or of their teacher. And literally, they would follow them around. Like they would walk around with him, listening to him teach. You see Jesus' disciples going wherever he went, being taught by him. And maybe when you first read that in scripture, you're like, that is absolutely crazy. That is weird that these guys would stop everything that they were doing. They would take their fishing poles out of the water, stop everything they were doing, and just start walking with this guy and listening to him. Well, that was the look of discipleship in Jesus' day. I think we should all do that. I think we should all just show up at Aaron's front door one morning. You know, and go, where are we going today, teacher? Where are we going today? I mean, you can Google his address. Just show up. It's okay. You know, he's all good with it. You can find him. But that's what being a disciple would be about. You would literally follow their teacher around, listening to them teach. Now, for the rest of the morning, we're going to be primarily in one verse. We'll hit a couple of others along the way, but primarily in one verse, and that's Matthew 4:19. And it's Jesus' invitation to his disciples to follow him. In particular, the verse speaks to his invitation to two of his disciples, Simon Peter and Andrew. But ultimately, this is an invitation to all of us as his children. Matthew 4:19 says this, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, if it's killing you, what the CSB does say, it's follow me, he told them, and I will make you fish for people. And that makes a whole lot of sense when you understand that Peter and Andrew were fishermen. Jesus was saying to them, you're done fishing for fish, boys. We're going to go fish for men. We're going to go fish for lives now. And so as we look at this concept of discipleship and kind of define it in a way and look at how it moves and how it integrates within our lives, there's three simple elements within this verse that I want to bring out about being discipled. And the first is the first part of Jesus' invitation to follow him. He says, follow me. In being discipled, we are to follow Jesus. That should make sense. Following his teaching, being taught and encouraged to follow the life he calls us to live. It's disciplers speaking into the lives of disciplees simply about following Jesus and what that looks like. The 12 and the others and others that started following, they literally followed him around on this earth. They're the lucky ones. They got the hands-on experience, you know? I'm not about to tell you what heaven's going to look like, but give me some of that. Give me some of walking down the road, listening to Jesus speak. I'm all for that. Sign me up for that retreat, right? But after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, we see the likes of guys like Paul, who took other guys in like the likes of Timothy and discipled them. Paul says to the church at Corinth, he says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. What he's talking about there is follow Jesus, glorifying him along the way, all along the way. And then he says a little bit later on to them, he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And there's a big thing to realize with that verse, and this speaks greatly into discipleship. Paul is not telling people listening to him to be like him. He's telling them to be like the Jesus in him. And that speaks into our lives as well, because we don't have to wear a salmon-colored polo or hoodie or lime green, whatever that is, that Aaron wears. But man, don't you want to love Jesus like he does? Don't you? I've known him for 15 to 20 years now. I can tell you by experience how much that man is in love with Jesus Christ. Give me that kind of love for Jesus like Aaron has. You don't have to play a guitar like David Hawkins does. You don't have to play drums like Asher or Andrew Webb down here. But give me the passion that they have to use their gifts and talents to serve people and to serve the church. That passion filters from the Christ in them, right? You don't have to have the knowledge of God's word like a Joey Bruno. But give me the desire to know God's word like Joey does. And that desire that he has filters from the Christ in him. Final one, give me the love and care for others that a Natasha Warren has. I'll tell you right now, the world would look a lot different and a lot better if there were more Natasha hearts, right? But see, Natasha hearts are really hearts that long to follow Jesus. And in being discipled, that's what we really need to have. We need to have a heart to follow Jesus. When Jesus handed out the invitation to Peter and Andrew and the others and says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, we kind of seemed intrigued that these guys would drop everything in their lives and just start walking with this guy and hinging off of his every word. Where does that come from? It comes from a heart to follow Jesus, a heart to know him more. A heart to learn and follow his ways. A heart to love people like he did. A heart of grace and mercy like he had. I could go on and on and on. And if that's your heart, then the good news is you have a heart to be discipled. You have a heart to be discipled. See, I hung out with Pastor Stan not because his wife Becky was an incredible cook, which she was. And I was getting free meals a lot, which I got. Or that he paid for my golf rounds, which he did. Or that he was a great sermon teacher, which he was. I hung out with that guy because God had planted this desire in me to follow him. Not follow Stan. Follow the Christ in Stan. And to do that more and more, in wanting to follow Jesus, I realized God placed Stan in my life. And that man had the means and the desire to help me to follow Jesus more. Even today, I'm still being discipled. Discipleship never ends. You never get to a place where discipleship ends in your life. Right now, I'm being discipled by three godly men in my life. There's actually more, but three main ones, and they speak Jesus and his word into different aspects of my life. One gentleman has mentored me, discipled me for over 20 years, and he speaks specifically into who I am as a husband to my wife, Jean, and who I am as a father to my daughter, Hannah. He speaks specifically about that. We go through scripture, talking about what a godly husband looks like, what a godly father looks like. Another gentleman talks to me more about my pastoral ministry, how I pastor others, whether it's inside the church or outside of the church. And then I got a guy who we just open the word and start reading because it's an awesome thing to do. It's just an awesome thing to do. And he is a scholar of the word, so it's like I'm sitting down with a commentary. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, I talk a lot. I don't say a word when I'm sitting down with this guy. I just let him talk. He's absolutely incredible. And this is on top of getting to learn from sermons from great teachers like Aaron and Josh and Sharon and AJ and others. It's on top of learning from my community group or my core group, whatever I'm a part of. It's on top of the classes that are made available through the church here. There are a variety of ways that our lives can be discipled. And I want you to hear me closely. This is not a works thing. This is not a, oh, I got to do this because I'm a Christian thing. This is, I got a heart to follow Jesus. I want this in my life thing. Right? All right, I'm running short on time. I got to get going. So let me talk about the two other ingredients of being discipled. The second is get ready to be moved and challenged. Get ready to be moved and challenged. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And being discipled, better get ready for the Holy Spirit to do his thing. He's going to do his thing in your life. That word make there speaks to God molding us and transforming our lives. The churchy term that we might use is sanctification. And part of that sanctification is God stretching us in places where we need to be stretched. And that can be uncomfortable. That can be challenging. And we might downright hate it at times. Jesus was obviously loving and kind, but he also spoke truth. And he challenged when he needed to. In John chapter 6, Jesus called some of those that were following him. He called them out. Said this starting in verse 63, said, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe. He's calling them out. This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. And here's the response from some. It says, after this, many of his disciples, many of those that were following him, turned back and no longer walked with him. He had the nerve to challenge them in their walk. That's going to happen in our lives in being discipled. John chapter 8, you probably know the story. The religious leaders bring an adulteress in front of Jesus. They're trying to set him up. They're trying to get him to say something or do something so that they can accuse him. And they ask him, what should we do with this lady? And his answer is challenging even to our ears today. When we read this scripture, this verse is challenging even to our ears. Now he says to them, let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. Is that challenging to your ears? It's challenging to mine. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. He's going to challenge us through his word. The response there, one by one they went away. Jesus has a way of challenging us and calling us out in order for us to grow. He's doing it for a reason. He's not doing it to punish us. He's not doing us to make us feel low and guilty. He's doing it to us so we will grow and to follow him more. I know those who have discipled me over the years, they've encouraged me to face fears in my life. They've encouraged me to confess a whole lot of sin in my life. I've been encouraged to grow in ways that I could never even see myself grow. And that's what being discipled can do for your life as well. Right after I gave my life to Christ, I'm 21 years old. I'm sitting in Pastor Stan's room. I'd given my life to Christ, and he looks up at me. He goes, are you ready? Now, I'm a 21-year-old. I'm like, I got this. I got this, man. I'm invincible. I was like, yeah, I got this. He goes, go reconcile your relationship with your mother. I hadn't spoken to my mom in 2 years since my parents divorced when I was 19. Hadn't said a word to her. Held a grudge against her. Didn't want to talk to her. And this guy is challenging me to reconcile my relationship with my mother. But he didn't just leave it at the challenge. He fed into me about how to talk to her again, how to approach her, how to ask for forgiveness from her, and then how to forgive her. And at 10:30 at night, on that night, I went to my mom's house and we reconciled that relationship. A year later, my mother accepted Jesus. And this day today, we're as close as we ever were when I grew up, closer than when I was growing up. So, yeah, the Holy Spirit's going to challenge you when you're being discipled. It can be a challenging thing. And then one final thing about being discipled, it's time to get ready to go fishing. It's getting ready to go fishing. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus spoke and Jesus taught in a way because he wanted his disciples and he wants us to go and disciple others. Now I will confess to you, I am a terrible fisherman of fish. All right? You could literally put the fish on the hook. I would be reeling that sucker in, and I will lose that fish off the hook. I will tell you right now, don't ask me to put an expensive lure on a line because the line will break, and I will lose it, and I will cost you a lot of money. I am a terrible, terrible fisherman of fish, but I've become a good fisherman of men, of people. But to get there, I needed to be discipled myself. I needed others speaking into my life about how I could then speak into other people's lives. It's through being discipled that we can then go and learn and be motivated to do and go and disciple others. Being discipled leads to us going and discipling others. You're going to hear more about that with AJ in next week's sermon. So I want to end this morning by saying this. And David, you can come up, mate. Thank you. If you're on board with this vision, the vision of this church, of walking with Jesus and loving our neighbor, then I really feel like you should have the desire to be discipled. I'm biased about that because I'm the discipleship pastor, all right? I'm supposed to say that. But it is one, if not the best way to walk with Jesus. And as I believe we'll hear next week from AJ, it is one, if not the greatest way to love our neighbor as well. So as we move into our time of Selah and we take some time to really seek the Lord, I just want to encourage you to see. First, ask yourselves, you know, have I made it a priority in my life for this to happen in my life? Or have I kept discipleship at arm's length? Because we fear that in some way. We're afraid of the challenges. We're afraid of what the Holy Spirit might do. Because maybe we think we are going to be punished. Or life's going to look a whole lot different, and we're uncomfortable with that. Well, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to grow us all. And I believe one of the ways he wants to do it is through others speaking into our lives, through discipling us. Do you have discipleship relationships happening where others are speaking the gospel into your life? Or have you tried to figure this out all by yourself, all on your own? That's the case. My concern is that you're living a life that was not God's intention for any of us. We were not created to live the Christian life by ourselves. We are created to live in community with one another, with others, other brothers and sisters in Christ speaking into our lives and us speaking into theirs. Discipleship. So if you're ready to follow Jesus, I urge you to seek out discipleship relationships in your life. And if that's you, boy, I really want to help you with that. I really do. And there are others in this church body that really want to help you start that up in your life. Now, if you're sitting here, actually, let's just go into Selah. We'll do that. We'll hit the last part. Let's just take some time with the Lord in that.